The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him.
What a way to start a service. Welcome everybody, fantastic to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us. And whether you're on the phone or on live Facebook here, it's really great to have you with us. And yeah, what a fantastic opener. Just incredible. And, you know, I expect he's probably got a lot more up his sleeve, that guy, Dr. Lockridge. Superb. It's really quite old now, but wow, still got the incredible impact. So fantastic. But yeah, brilliant to have you with us. And I pray, and that's what we're going to do now, we're going to pray that that sovereign God, that Lord Jesus, will be with us throughout the whole of our time this morning. So let's commit our time to God. So Father, we just thank you that you are a God who is indescribable. And yet, in some of those phrases which we've just seen and heard, Lord, thank you for the reality of who you are. It's just so amazing. And Lord, there is nothing that you cannot do. You are the God of the impossible. You're a God who's outside of time. You are all powerful. And Lord, we could go on again, but Lord, thank you that you want to meet with each one of us today. And Lord, it's in this time we've got together, even though we are virtually apart, Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would unite us and we'd know that we are part of something much bigger, of all that you are doing in us and through us. So, Lord, just come and build your church today. Come and minister into your church today. But, Lord, we give you this time. Touch our lives, touch our hearts. And, Lord, may we go from this place, go from our time together into the rest of this week, deeper in our relationship with you because we've been here. We ask these things, Jesus, in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Okay, again, it's brilliant to have you with us. And you'll be pleased to know it's not me bringing the word today. It's my friend Rich who's going to be preaching, bringing the word. But if you do want me instead of Rich, then you can get me in two other places today. I'm in Luton, Limbury Baptist Church in Luton, so you can look at them up online. Or you could go to Stoneborough Baptist Church and catch me there as well. So I'm simultaneously in three places. How about that? Hey, this is what lockdown has brought. Sorry, world. This is one of those things. Okay, if you're a regular congregation member of Emmanuel, you'll remember that perhaps back in May, I think it was, 2019, we did something called 31 Days in May. And it was a reading scheme, if you like, which enabled us to unite together to read the Word of God. And we went through the book of Proverbs. And we took a proverb a day, because it's 31 chapters, 31 proverbs. And we all read it together. And then on the intervening Sundays, we took one of those proverbs, one of those chapters, and unpacked it together. Well, I thought, let's do something similar. Because we've been very sort of fractured in one sense, in we've been separated over the last few months. So I thought, let's do something. So the Lord inspired me. And so we're going to do something called September Soundbites. Here you go. And so certainly a regular member of the congregation, you'd have had a sheet sent out to you. And on this sheet is a list of readings, which you can't see that very well, can you? But if you print that out, you've got something then which you can refer to. And it's like a devotional aid. It's a help. And what it's going to do, it's going to help give us the opportunity of all visiting together some of the things which Jesus taught, some of the statements he made, some of the teaching he gave. And we thought it would be really good to start our autumn season by going through some of these phrases which Jesus gave to us. And so each day, there's just a couple of verses, or even just a single verse. And the encouragement is, let's give God a bit of space, a bit of time to speak to us in a slightly different way to normal. And so the fact that we're all doing it together as well. Also on the sheet, you'll know, you'll be able to see that it's got some details of suggestions and questions to ask once you've reading those few words of Jesus. I hope and I pray, if you'll, firstly, you'll engage with that and you join us with doing that, but also that God will bless you. He will bless us all. And he'll just get that sense of unity as we do it together, but also that we'll learn so much more of who Jesus is and what God wants to say to us through Jesus' life and through his teaching. So, September Soundbites, okay? Let's stir the soul and the spirit as we do that. That'd be brilliant. Okay, just a few other announcements, if I could, about some regular things going on this week. On Wednesday, we actually have a Thanksgiving service for our sister who died, Barbara Lyon. And it's by invitation only, but I would really value you praying into that and praying for the family as we gather. That's at midday on Wednesday. So if you could remember, that would be brilliant. On Wednesday evening, we've got our Zoom prayer time. So if that's for half an hour from 7 o'clock, If you've not got the Zoom connection for that, if you want to drop that a note in the comments today, then we'll make sure you get the Zoom comment. And then that's the same, in fact, for coffee time. We're having a coffee time after the service today as well, just so we can catch up with people and each other. So if you want to do that, if you, again, just leave a message in the comments if you've not got the Zoom link. And I think Mr. Dunster is going to gather us again. That would be really brilliant. Okay, I think that's me done. So I'm going to hand over to Adam, and he's going to lead us in our first block of worship. Thanks, Adam.
Good morning. We're going to start. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Oh, Jesus, I have brought
be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side. Storms of passions, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to me, assure me, for taste of our control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to all who follow thee, that when thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Oh, let me see thy footmarks, and in them plant mine own. I hope to follow duly, it's in thy strength alone. Oh, guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end, and then rest, receive me, my Savior and my friend.
That'll do.
Thank you very much, Adam. We were all singing, well, we weren't singing along because we're not meant to be singing. We were all humming along to that brilliant walking bass line you can't hear now. It's wonderful. I went and saw my friend Brian and Barbara Oman this week because they're going to be sharing the grace at the end of the service. And Brian had a gift for me which is absolutely incredible, and I want to share that with you today. For visitors, I'm Richard, I'm the youth minister here. And for boys and girls and people who like these talks, I've brought in this fantastic Bible colouring book, which is absolutely full of these beautiful, beautiful pictures from the Bible. I'll just show you one up close, okay? So you get that one. Oh, absolutely lovely. Okay, but the interesting thing about this book is it's full of these beautiful pictures, but like the Bible, sometimes when you pick it up and you open it up, there's absolutely nothing inside it. And some people, when they pick up the Bible and they try to look at it, they don't really see anything interesting at all. They just think it's just an old book full of old stories for old people. Okay, and it's full of big hard words and these and thous and things like that. And they just flick through the page and there's nothing in it for them. And they think, well, what's the point? Why do Christians go absolutely mad for this book? Why do people smuggle this book into countries so that people can become Christians? What is so important about this? And they just don't see anything special at all. But you see, other people, when they open up the Bible, they see something a bit different, and they kind of see just black and white line pictures here, okay, and they kind of see it here, and they think, well, you know, it's about this person, Jesus, and that's quite interesting, and there's stories in there, and it tells you a little bit about how to be a good person, perhaps. Some people think the Bible's about how to be a good person, and they see the pictures, and they see a little bit of the information, and think, well, you know, there's something interesting in there, there's a bit of history. It's something special. But what they don't understand is this book, the Bible, is absolutely wonderful and life-changing when you understand that the whole thing is about Jesus. When the whole Bible is about Jesus, then actually it comes alive. It comes into colour. And you read the Psalms or the Proverbs or you read creation or you read the Old Testament stories or the New Testament, and you see that the whole book is a beautiful, colourful, vibrant story about how there's a God who created us. He knows you by name. He knows how many hairs are on your head.
and he loves you. And he loves you so much that Jesus came into this world and was willing to go to the cross so that we could be forgiven, we could be rescued, we could be children of God and Jesus' friend. So I wonder, when you pick up your Bible, do you see it as a beautiful, colourful story, rich and vibrant, full of hope and life? Do you see these kind of facts and figures and long names and genealogies and information? Or do you even see anything at all? Well, as Mark said, in September, as a church, we're going to be looking at the things that Jesus said in the Bible. So for 30 days. And if you're one of the children today, that includes you. It doesn't have to be just for the big folks. So why not say to mum and dad, in September, we'll read this together. Okay, and do it as a family. And find out some of these wonderful, colourful, exciting things that Jesus has to say. So thank you very much, Brian, for this wonderful, clever, beautiful book. Hopefully I did service to the story. And we're going to find out a little bit more about some of the people in this wonderful book a bit later. But first, Adam's got a fantastic song for us to sing. And mums and dads, you might want to get the camera ready because this is a bouncy one. So if you get your kids dancing and jumping and shouting, then that'll be lovely. And send it to your life group and see what happens. So over to you, Adam.
Good, thank you. We're going to sing a great song. It's about how God created us. It's for children of all ages, which includes you and it includes me. And it speaks about the senses that God has given us. It says, well, I bend down and touch my knees. So he's given us the sense of touch. We can feel our knees. In fact, we can feel all sorts of things. Then I touch my toes. Then I stand up straight again and hold on to my nose, which speaks about the sense of smell. That's right. Cover my eyes with my hands. So what sense does that talk about? If you cover your eyes, you can't see any longer. So that's the sense of sight. And God has given us the sense of sight as well. Cover my eyes with my hands so I can. And then reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. And we're actually recognizing that God gave us all these senses so that we can live life to the full. I will bend down and touch my knees, and then I touch my toes. Now I'll stand up straight again and hold on to my nose. I cover my eyes with my hands, and so I cannot see. Then reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. God created me, hey! God created me. I reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. I will bend down and touch my knees, and then I touch my toes. Then I stand up straight again and hold on to my nose. I cover my eyes with my hands, and so I cannot see. Reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. God created me, hey! God created me. I reach my hands up in the air, for God created me.
I can almost see you all. Hands up in the air, around the living room. But now we're going to do it a little bit faster, because you do that in all-age songs.
I will bend down and touch my knees, and then I touch my toes. Then I stand up straight again and hold on to my nose. I cover my eyes with my hands, so I cannot see. And reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. God created me, hey! God created me. I reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. I will bend down and touch my knees, and then I touch my toes. And now I stand up straight again and hold on to my nose. I cover my eyes with my hands, so I cannot see. Reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. God created me, hey! God created me. I reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. God created me, hey! God created me. I reach my hands up in the air, for God created me. Father, into your courts I will enter. Maker of heaven and earth, I tremble in your holy presence. Glory, glory in your sanctuary.
we long for you to move in power. There's a hunger deep within our hearts to seek healing in our nation. Send your Spirit to
Thank you, Adam, and thank you for choosing that last song. That takes me back a number of decades to my Youth for Christ days. But I tell you, what a pertinent song about our nation and our time today, eh? That's what we're long, isn't it? That God will come and heal our nation. And I don't know if you noticed in the second verse about the image of the wave breaking the shores of our land. And of course, that's one of the images, the visions, which we as a church are looking to and praying for and looking for God to break upon our land in a new way and to start here within our own town. So just before Rich comes and brings God's word to us, let's ask that we be open for God to do that. So let's pray. So Father God, we do pray that you will come and heal our land. You bring revival upon us. And that, Lord, you would allow that wave of your presence to break upon the shore of this nation. Lord, we long for you to come in power. So, Lord, I pray that you'd start with me, start with us. And as Rich brings your word to us, Lord, I pray that you give us hearts and minds and spirits which are open to hear from you. So come, Holy Spirit, bless Rich and bless us and meet with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. empty.
Hello, everybody. Let's get the PowerPoint up. It's really good to be with you today, and it's really lovely to have the opportunity to speak. This is our 23rd week that we've been doing online services, and I know while some churches have opened up their buildings and starting to meet again, we've made the decision that due to some of the pretty heavy restrictions on what we can and can't do, we kind of felt it'd be easier to keep online at the moment. And we hope that you are engaging and enjoying and getting something out of these services. We hope that you are able to sing along and dance along at home. We've been very good today. We're not meant to be singing, so we aren't. Occasionally the odd hum comes out, but we're trying to behave. But we've been all over the Bible in the last 23 weeks. We've looked at, you know, Easter time. We've looked in the Psalms. We've looked at what it means to worship, what it means to rest. We've been in the New Testament, the Old Testament, in the Gospels, all over. And I think when we started these online services, we didn't really know how long we'd be doing them for. And we kind of come to the point we thought it'd be really good to focus on something together as a church that goes on for a few weeks. And I'm very excited about the coming September, where we'll be doing the September soundbites. We'll be looking at 30 sayings of Jesus as a church, and some of that will be on our own at home. Some of that will be here on a Sunday. And as I've said to the children, that includes you and young people. Mums and dads, make this a family thing, you know, make it a part of the morning or a part of the evening. Sit down, look at one of these sayings together and talk about what it might mean and how it affects our lives. And it's an excellent way to start a good habit in lockdown. Some of us have maybe picked up some bad habits in lockdown, not getting dressed till 2 in the afternoon, you know, all that kind of stuff. But for some of us, let's start a good habit in lockdown. Okay. It also meant, though, looking that we're in September, going to be focusing on the words of Jesus, I had a lot to avoid preaching on this morning. And it was quite strange thinking, right, I want to avoid looking at what Jesus says today because I don't want to give any spoilers away for September. And I spoke with Ali, who's doing the telephone service today. Hello, everyone on the phone. And Ali told me that she's looking at Jesus, Light of the World, next week as kind of a introduction to looking at who Jesus is. And I thought, well, how am I going to do a prelude to an introduction? I've got a free Sunday, Mark, so I can preach on what I like, but I want to avoid looking at the things Jesus says. So I opened up my Bible and I saw that there was someone who came before Jesus, who had a very special job to do, who got people ready and prepared the way. And that's the person we're going to be looking at this morning, John the Baptist. And if you've got a Bible with you, or you've got an app, I'd love you to open it up to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 19 to 34. The words will come up on the screen, but it's always good to have it open when someone's preaching, so you can check what they're saying marries up with what the word says. So let's read together. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. John testifies about Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Wonderful. Now, some of John's language is a bit tricky. There's a lot of people testifying and people who sent people there, and we'll unpack that a little bit today. John's not the easiest book to read, but a light bulb. You know, when you hear the word Baptist, you can get all kinds of ideas in your head if you're a Christian. You know, you hear about Baptists and you think someone in a suit, someone who's a bit strict, you know, people are very particular about how you take communion and who can take communion. And, you know, the old joke, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Change! You know, we've got to vote on it first, haven't we? Grace hymns, all sorts of things now we've been talking about this morning. And that's the idea that can come to mind when you think of Baptist, but not our John. Here's a stained glass window of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is great. He's probably my new hero. But I think he's the kind of person, if you were walking down Swanage High Street and you saw him coming towards you, you'd take your children by the hand or your wife and you'd make sure that you were stood in between them and this frankly wild looking man. Do you know what I'm saying? I think John the Baptist is what happens when you cross Billy Graham with Bear Grylls. Okay, you get this kind of God-fearing, sin-hating, but people-loving, bug-eating survival expert operating out of a base camp in the wilderness. It looks to me like, when you read the Bible, he made his own clothes out of dead animals he found. His garments are made of camel hair with a big leather belt holding it together. And I think it's safe to assume he was sporting a terrifying-looking beard. That's just how I like to imagine him anyway. His diet is interesting. Elsewhere, the Gospels tell us that he ate locusts and wild honey. Okay, does that look like breakfast this morning? Okay, catching locusts and eating wild honey. Now, some people think that's honey that bees make, but instead of domesticated bees in a hive, you have to go looking for it in the wilds, breaking into a beehive, not getting stung. Some people think that the honey is the honey from the date palm, a kind of a sweet, sugary sap. But either way, this awesome man's idea of fast food was catching locusts and frying them and breaking into beehives or climbing trees to get some sweet nectar. The guy is fantastic, and I'm in serious danger, if you're watching this, Laura, of taking us to go and, that's my wife, to go and live in the woods with our children. I think he's absolutely amazing. But he's not just some mad hermit who's kind of trying to escape society, doing a runner. He's not just living on the fringe because he doesn't like people. His lifestyle revolves around his vocation, around his calling, around the job God's given him to do. Now, while John's gospel only really shows us John the Baptist, and that's two different Johns, John's gospel is written by John the disciple. While John the disciple only introduces us to John the Baptist in terms of his relationship to Jesus, Luke's gospel, Matthew's gospel make it clear that John had a huge, very successful ministry and a huge following of people who came to hear him speak and came to be baptized by the wild man in the wilderness. People knew John the Baptist. People from the lowly fishermen in Galilee, even up to the mighty King Herod, they'd all heard of John the Baptist. And he had one message for them, no matter who you were in society, rich or poor, man or woman, child or old, important or even a slave, John's message was this: repent. You need to turn your life around and get right with God. Understandably, this generated quite a stir among the religious types. They wanted to know who this strange, fearless and curiously popular man was. I mean, wouldn't you, if you heard that there was a homeless guy prophesying and raving and preaching a message of repentance outside the Molem in Swanage and dunking people in the sea to show people they'd change their lives, you'd want to go and see that and hear that and suss out who this guy is, wouldn't you? You know, and particularly if he's shouting about the likes of Boris Johnson or Dominic Cummings or Prince Charles or whoever's important, and holding them to account as well. I definitely want to go and have a look at that. But like usual, the religious people are the last lot to understand what God is doing. And while the general population have been going to John and hearing about God and getting right with God, the kind of the religious important people up here, the suits, they've not really been interested until, you know, it got a bit of momentum. You see, in the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, all types of weirdo, bearded, strange, loopy people have come and gone, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be God's promised king, coming and telling people to repent. And they either, you know, they're here one minute, stoned to death the next, or their rebellions don't really come to much. But now that John's getting a bit of steam, we see that the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, they want to know, who is this John the Baptist? Is he just another nobody out on the fringe shouting at the clouds? Or is this someone God has sent? Is he someone important? Is he someone that the Old Testament told us would be coming? And so they send, you know, suits with clipboards to go to John the Baptist. They send the messianic and prophecy related disturbance team armed with a couple of D11 forms to go and find out just who John the Baptist is. But despite their apparent interest, I think their curiosity really can be boiled down to two questions. Who do you think you are? And who told you you could do that? Some of you have heard that from parents growing up. Who do you think you are? You know, who are you? Who do you think you are? Why are you going around doing this? And ultimately, who told you you could do that? We haven't. We're the religious people. We say what goes on in these parts. Who told you that you could go around baptizing people, calling people to repentance? And John doesn't so much say who he is, but we learn a little bit about who John isn't. Please excuse my grammar there. Who John the Baptist isn't. Because the religious leaders want to know, you know, are you the Messiah? Now the Messiah, what does that mean? Some of you are thinking, you're not the Messiah, you're a very naughty boy. Who is the Messiah? What does that word mean? Well, the Messiah is a Hebrew word that means the anointed one. It means the king. In Greek, it's the word we use for the Christ, about who Jesus is. It's the anointed king. And the Old Testament speaks that God's going to send a saviour. He's going to send a king who's going to rescue his people. It's talked about in the Old Testament in places like Daniel, in places like Isaiah, in places like Jeremiah, in lots of the Old Testament prophets. They speak about how God's people who are in bondage, in slavery, in trouble, are waiting for their king to come and rescue them. And the Old Testament talks about the Messiah in different ways. It talks about a suffering servant, someone who's meek and mild and humble. It also talks about a fierce warrior who will come and rescue his people mightily. In other places, it talks about a man who's going to come and be punished and die for his people. And the religious leaders, they want to know, John, are you the Messiah? Have you come to save us from the Romans, from these foreign people who've come and taken over our country by force? Are you here to rescue us? And John the Baptist says, no, I'm not him. I am not the Messiah. I am not your saviour. Well, very well then, are you Elijah the prophet? Are you Elijah the prophet? And this always confused me, you know, how could John the Baptist possibly be Elijah? Elijah lived hundreds, if not nearly 1,000 years before John the Baptist. How on earth could John the Baptist be Elijah? Elijah was a prophet, a really powerful, special man from God, who ministered to his people and he rescued them from worshipping false idols. He stood up to bad kings and challenged them. But surely, how can John be Elijah? Well, Elijah didn't die. Elijah, when he went to heaven to be with God. We see that Elijah didn't die, he wasn't buried, but a chariot of fire came and swept him up and literally carried him up to heaven. And you get the idea in Malachi that that at the end of the world, Elijah kind of will return. And you've got this idea, you know, are you Elijah? Are you, if you're not the Saviour, if you're not the Messiah, is it the end times? Have you come back from heaven to challenge us about our sin and to get us ready for the end of the world? And John the Baptist says, no, I'm not him either. I'm not your Saviour. I'm not bringing about the end of the world. So they say, well, you must be the prophet then. And in Deuteronomy, Moses, he talks about a prophet, not just a prophet, but the prophet. In chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, someone will come who is more powerful, more special, more important than Moses, who will do a greater work. Moses led his people to the promised land. He rescued them from slavery in Egypt. He said this, someone is coming who will do a greater work than I, save you from something more important than slavery, and take you to a place more important than the promised land. So they asked John the Baptist, are you the prophet that Moses speaks about? Again, John says, no, I'm not him. You see, I think that takes an incredible amount of humility, doesn't it? The religious right, the leaders of the Jewish nation have come to you. You know, you're trending, you've gone viral, you've got hundreds if not thousands of people following you. They're coming to hear you speak, to be baptized. You are famous. You know, you're a famous up-and-coming prophet. And the religious leaders come and they say, you know, are you the Messiah? Are you the Saviour? Are you wrapping up the end time? Are you the prophet? And John could have said yes to any of those. And he'd have been lauded as a hero. He'd have gone on tours, you know, he'd have been up at the temple, eating with the bigwigs. But John knows he's not these people. And he says, no, I'm not these things. In fact, he says, that person is coming. Someone more important than me, the one you're after. The Messiah is coming. The prophet is coming, but it's not me. You know, John could have cashed in there, couldn't he? He could have thrown his chips in. He could have decided to get rich quick or get famous, but John had a special mission from God. And John knew exactly what that was, and that was to prepare people for the Messiah, for the prophet, to get people ready. It can be quite nice at the end of a church service when Mark and I go through the comments, and we get to see that people like the kids' talk, or they really like this, or they liked a certain song. And it can be really good for your ego. And sometimes you get emails saying, you know, that bit wasn't quite right, or could you do these songs or things like that? And you think, oh, we've not managed to please everyone. And actually being humble isn't trying to please everyone. Being humble isn't saying I'm less than I am. Being humble is like being John the Baptist. It's knowing I'm not these things and there are people better than me. But it's not pretending you're rubbish. It's just doing the job God has given you to do. We can learn a lot from John. Who are you, they ask him? Well, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. Make way, the way for the Lord. Get ready. John knew what his job was, and he did it. He didn't want to be more than he was. And sometimes in church, people do want to be more than they are. Sometimes we want to be leaders. We want to be seen as important. We want things because we want people to look up to us. There's a real temptation. You know, John knew who he was, he knew what his job was, and he didn't worry about the rest. He just got on with it. There's a real lesson for me and anyone else watching about that. He's not these things. John's getting people ready for the way. And there's this word that he keeps using, repent. Now, repent, you know, it can be a very fiery, brimstone, turn or burn, angry people, you know, standing outside, you know, the angry people in the States who, you know, poster boards, you know, coming out to funerals and, you know, being angry. And repentance isn't about being horrible to people. The word repent means to turn. It means to turn around. John, when he says repent, he's saying, change your direction. John the Baptist, he grew up and he saw that his nation, his people, they were sinning. From the top of the crowd, Herod, who was killing his own family and stealing their wives and doing all kinds of awful things down to the most normal people. People weren't putting God in their right place. And his message was simple. God sees. God knows. God judges. You need to turn away from your wrongdoing and your wicked life, and you need to get right with God. And as a sign, he baptized people to show that their sins were washed away, that they were a new person, they were dead and buried and alive again. Now, repentance isn't just confessing. It's not just saying, yeah, I did something wrong. Yeah, everyone does that when they get caught. I got a speeding ticket. Well, I didn't get a speeding ticket. I got a notification in the post the other day from the police saying I'd gone through a speed camera. Okay? Saying, yeah, I did it, that's not repenting. They already know it's me. They've got my license plate. They've caught me. Agreeing with them and confessing, that's not repentance. That's just common sense. Okay? Confessing isn't repenting. And it's not tricking God either. Repenting isn't saying, sorry, God, you have to forgive me now and I can do what I like. Repentance is turning your life around. It's walking away from that sin and not doing it again. Now, what's sin? Sin, again, is another loaded term we find in the Bible. And sin is falling short of God's standard. It's missing the mark. Sometimes it's not being good enough. Sometimes it's doing something wrong on purpose. Sometimes it's doing something wrong by accident. But sin is not meeting God's standard. If God's standard is up here, it's falling short, not meeting the great. Okay? And repentance is saying sorry for that and turning away from those things and not doing them anymore. And John's mission was to baptize people with water as a sign of their repentance. But he was excitedly watching for someone more important than him. And his job, like a bit of a signpost, was to tell people that he wasn't the end all and the be all, but there was someone more important than him coming. He was a signpost. And we see here in John's Gospel, he got excited when he saw someone in the crowd. Someone who the Holy Spirit told him was the one who everyone was really looking for. Someone he said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. John knew who he was, but he pointed people towards someone who was greater than he. And isn't that inspiring if you're a Christian today? That you know who you are. You're forgiven through Jesus. You're washed clean, not by baptism, but by the blood of Jesus, we're forgiven. And we, like John the Baptist, can point people to someone more important and greater than us. It's lovely that you're watching me this morning, but don't build your faith around me. I'm sure you're not, but don't be tempted. Or Mark, or any other preacher you're watching online at the moment. We love Jesus, and we want you to look towards him, not us. We get things wrong. We don't get everything right. Don't base your life on us, or on your church leadership, or what church you go to, or if your mum and dad are Christians. That's not what it's about. It's about you following Jesus. About you looking to Jesus. Why is Jesus so important? Because as John says, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The problem with repenting is while you might not be sinning anymore, it doesn't stop the fact that you already have. You might have turned away from your old life and be going in the right direction and pleasing God, but it doesn't deal with all the stuff that we do that's wrong. And John the Baptist, he didn't have a way of getting rid of that either. There's no way of getting rid of our sin, but he sees Jesus and he says, look, this is the one I've been telling you about. This is the Lamb of God who's going to take away the sin of the world. And the Lamb, you know, Jesus isn't seen as this warrior lion who's come to fight the Romans and rescue his people from oppression. He's a lamb, a sacrificial lamb who's come to die, whose blood will be poured out as a sin offering. He's going to take our place. I haven't got time to go into it this morning, but it throws all the way back to Passover when God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. And the families took a lamb, they killed it, and with that blood they were saved from the angel of death who came over and judged Egypt. Okay, but instead of a lamb, God sends his own son. Okay, and when Jesus is baptized and the dove, the Holy Spirit descends on him, and in another gospel, in Luke, God himself says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. God sends his son into the world as a lamb to die for us. Now, if you've ever sinned, if you've ever done anything that you wish you hadn't done, if you know you've fallen short of your own standards, let alone God's, then this is good news for you this morning. Because we aren't just about turning away from sin and trying to be good people. Can't do it. I try all the time and I can never meet my own standards, let alone God. I'm not good enough. But God doesn't want me to be good enough. He wants me to look to the Lamb of God, to Jesus, who died for me, and say, will you take my place on that cross? Will you take my sins and wash them away and make me new? And Jesus says, yes, because I love you. If you're ashamed of things you've done, if you don't know where your standing is with God this morning, if you were to die and meet God and wonder, would he let me into heaven or not, then let me tell you, you need Jesus. Just like John the Baptist, I want to point you to him this morning. Because without Jesus, you stand in your own sin, fallen short of God's glory, and you can't spend eternity with him. But with Jesus, you stand before God clean, part of his family, ready to spend eternity, not just with the Creator God, but with a loving Father. This is good news. This is why we use the word gospel, because God loves you, and he wants you to be part of his team and part of his family. We're going to be looking at the words of Jesus over the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at who Jesus is next week with Ali. And then we're going to be straight into looking at who Jesus is and what he said and what he thinks about things. Okay? We've said it, you know, watch it as a family. Get involved. Get stuck in. Look at who Jesus is. Because if you don't yet know him, as our video at the beginning of the service said, well, we hope that you do. Because he's incredible. John was important. There are people in your life, ministers, churches, families, people we look up to who are important, but they're not Jesus. And if you don't yet know him yourself, then you stand apart from him. I'm going to say a prayer just before Mark comes and introduces the grace, or the closing song today. In fact, we've got a closing song, which is a wonderful opportunity. It's O Come to the Altar. I'm just going to say a prayer with you. And if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to know Jesus as your Lord, as your King, the one you follow, and as your Saviour, the one who washed away your sin, then say these words with me today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you came into this world, that you were born into all of its brokenness and sorrow, that you know what it was like to experience poverty and hardship, but also to experience joy and friendship. Jesus, thank you that you never sinned. You met God's wonderful standard. When you died, you didn't pay for your own sins, but you took the place of a world that had wandered away from God. Jesus, I ask this morning that you clean me up. You take my sin to your cross and take it away forever. Clean me up. And Jesus, I ask that you count me into your family, one of your friends, part of your flock. Help me to become part of a church. Help me to know your word. Help me to be filled with your spirit and follow you. Amen. Amen. If you've done that this morning, send us a message and we can send you some materials, some resources. We'd love you to be part of EBC or a church that's near to you, part where you can plug in and really grow and find out what it means to follow Jesus. Adam's going to sing a song now. It's O Come to the Altar, and it speaks about Jesus' sacrifice. And again, this is an opportunity to do business with God this morning. Take it away, Adam.
Jesus is calling.
water. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Bear the cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Rich, too. And just if you do need to come to the altar, if you do, just re-echoing what Richard said, if you need to get your life sorted with God, then let me encourage you to do that. Don't wait. Let's do it. And if we can be of any help in that process, then do get in touch. But thank you again for joining us today. It's been super, and we've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves trying to put this together. It's been really great. And as always, we like to bring our service to a close with some of our church members. And so we're really privileged to have Brian and Barbara Oman, who are going to say the grace to us. So God bless you. See you next week.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and for always. Amen.
Amen.